School finally wrapping up for so many youth. My kids, yesterday we went and picked up the old report card and some of the stuff that may have been left behind at the school. And I know today is technically the last day of school, but many people, you know, preparing and thinking about what's going to happen come September on a number of different fronts. And this discussion came up at the region just the other day when it comes to early childhood educators. This is something that we have known for some time, that we've had a shortage. Many people have been talking specifically about the pay, been one of the huge concerns that people have had. That's, you know, steered many people who maybe even went and thought that it was a field that they wanted to get into, and then they got there going, well, I'm not getting paid much, I gotta go do something else. And it feels like it's the ramifications that are starting to be felt is some daycares are saying, look, we just don't have the bodies to actually operate and do what we want to do and offer the programming that we want, which is troubling to say the least. That's one of the ways to look at this, because this is something that, you know, many people obviously rely on that so they can go do their jobs. Darlene Edgar is the Niagara Region's Chair of Children's Services, Director of Children's Services, and joins us on the program. Darlene, how you doing?
I think you just gave me a pay increase, didn't you?
I'm not sure. Sometimes I'm always all over the place of what to...
great. Thank you very much. You are dead on in the comments that you made, Matt, around what's happening within the child care system, because we have experienced a crisis here in Niagara, but right across Ontario, and it's been mounting every year. And COVID certainly has added additional pressures to that because of a number of factors, including the fact that we were short previously for the number of staff that are required under legislative requirements for an operator to serve certain age groups of children. And it's gotten worse because these staff also, you know, people get sick. They've left because of their own challenges with providing services for their own, or, you know, taking care of their own families. And as you said, I'm going someplace else because the pay's better. Certainly appreciate that.
Is that still one of the big things you hear? Because that's what I've seen from many people that go through. It's like, oh, okay, I want to kind of get into education, but I don't necessarily want to be a teacher. I like the idea of being an ECE, and then they get there. They might do it for a couple of years, but then by the time they, kind of want to, you know, increase their living situation, it's like, well, I can under this pay.
Yep, in many cases, that certainly is the situation, because the issue around early childhood education and child care is it isn't a universal service like the education system is. So the operators who run these programs are reliant on parental fees. So if you raise the wages of staff, then you have to charge more to the families, and then it becomes to the point that a family can't afford to pay those daily rates.
Which is, that's why there's such a long-standing conversation about a national child care
right.
system at this point in time. In terms of what you're feeling and what you're seeing in terms of the staffing levels at this point in time, like, have you seen, even in the regional facilities, staffing decreases and stuff?
We're struggling to find staff, too, because of people being off, and particularly in the summertime when, you know, the staff have continued to work right across the system through all of the shutdowns, and they want vacation, and they certainly have earned those vacations, and trying to backfill for them when they're off on vacation has just added to the complexity. So, yes, our five centers that we operate are struggling too.
If I caught the number, like 60% of the staff, like that's what you're looking at, or
no,
the staffing level?
I think that that might have been in reference to the number of child care spaces that have come back into the system.
Okay, gotcha. It's one of those things, because I know seeing some of those other centers talking about that the decreasing spaces, yep. when we know we need more spaces, right? And especially we've had so much talk about this pandemic being a C-section in terms of hitting females and women, trying to get back into the workforce if the kids aren't able to find affordable childcare and there's less spaces out there. Like, this is the trickle down of this could be massive.
It's huge. And certainly we recognize that. So, Children's Services is putting every strategy that we can possibly put into place. I have had numerous conversations with service providers that if they have any capacity to be able to expand beyond what they currently have now as far as their infrastructure with staffing, to do so. One of the things that may help with a shift is when the pandemic slows down and we can mix staff and children together.
Yeah.
Because not everybody comes at 9 o'clock and leaves at 3, like at school. They can come in at 7 o'clock and be there until 6 in the evening, and we have to staff accordingly to that. So because of health and safety, which I absolutely endorse, we can't have staff moving from group to group, can't, start out with a couple of children that are together in the morning and then split them off as they, more of their peers come into the age groups of children that are there. So it causes more pressure and all of the cleaning and screening, et cetera, that has gone on. There's been tremendous diligence in trying to hold off with, any COVID cases within child care, as there has been in other services too.
Yeah, but like I said, the public health restrictions certainly have tied a lot of people's hands in terms of the ways that sometimes you manage those shortcomings in staffing and everything. I think of some of the volunteering that I do, and you can't have this volunteer over here with this group because they're not in that bubble. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, that if you don't have the numbers, you just don't have the numbers.
It's a huge pressure, and hopefully we will see that start to be minimized as things get better in the community.
And obviously some programs from the federal and provincial level might help.
Yes.
But that's for those politicians at this point in time to start hammering out. Darlene, I appreciate the chat this morning. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you.
You take care. There is Darlene Edgar over at the region's Children's Services side of things, the director over there. And just flat, like, this is something before the pandemic, there was a shortage of ECEs. Through the pandemic, with people not working, needing to stay home with their kids, that these spaces, staffing levels are tricky. And whether it's the regional facilities, whether it's the private facilities, the cost of them is very high. It's a workforce that needs to be worked on, right? There needs to be something done for, to me, harkens a lot to some of the issues that are faced within long-term care facilities and PSWs and stuff. Like, the job you're asking these people to do is not easy, yet you're expecting them to do it for a relatively low pay, and that doesn't quite correlate, right? And if you deem these to be important jobs to be done within your society, you can't pay them a low rate, or else people aren't going to want to do those jobs, and then there won't be that service just simply won't be there for people.